God bless you. Have a good day.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
We love dogs.
He's a good boy.
Yeah? What's his name?
His is Theo.
Theo. Hi, Theo.
Oh,
yes. He smells Roxy. He smells my little dog.
Yeah.
Very nice. Aww. Is he a rescue, or did you have him since a pup? Or?
Yeah. I rescued his mom. She was born in my apartment.
Oh, really?
The mom passed away, so I kept
him. Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's a good boy. You guys enjoying your afternoon?
Yeah.
How about you?
And you?
Good. Are you guys... What church are you from?
Grace Fellowship Church. Have you been in the area a while? A
couple of years. I go to Walmart.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
the Walmart out on West Kimberly?
Yeah. Okay.
Just a half mile west of there.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
My name's Tony. This is Alan. Alan's from Texas, actually.
Alan's based in Aggie,
yeah.
So he lives here.
And you are?
I'm Kiara.
Kiara, nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. Good to meet you. So, Kiara, do you worship anywhere here locally?
Yeah, I actually go across the river at Word of Life.
Word of Life? I've heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it took me a while to find it. I have a couple friends. He's weird sometimes.
That's okay. That's all right. You're the boss.
Yeah,
you're the boss, Theo.
Very much.
Yeah. I go with a couple of Homer friends over across the river there.
So how did you come to faith in Christ?
When I was in high school, I grew up going to church with my mom.
Yeah.
Catholic. My dad is Protestant.
Okay.
Which I guess doesn't really matter in the end. But I ended up switching over to going to church with my dad. And I went to teen retreat.
Okay.
1 year when I was in high school. And that was that. And then ever since, I've been involved.
Yeah.
So
how do you go about sharing your faith with others? There's obviously lots of different ways to do that.
Yeah. Well, back home, I'm part of the worship team.
Back home is?
Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So I play the violin there.
Yeah.
Which has been awesome. So, I'm kind of just starting to figure out where I can get involved there. But, I'm on the rugby team.
Oh, yeah?
So, every now and then we'll try to...
Rugby among ladies is becoming more popular, I understand.
Yeah. Yes,
I mean, more ladies are playing.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I got him.
Boy.
So, Kiara, if you and I we didn't just meet on the corner of 4th and Brady... I mean, we have been friends for a long time, and I know that you're a Christian, and you know that I'm not.
Right.
And I come to you one day, and I say, all right, Kiara, what's this all about? I think there's something out there. I'm not particularly sure what's going to happen to me when I die. You seem to know a thing or two. What kind of hope would you give? How would you give me hope, or how would you communicate the gospel to me?
Well, I would probably share my experience.
Okay.
And then I went to on a mission trip in college. Just after I got saved, but kind of just gave everything back up to Jesus.
Yeah.
And just felt like a 100-pound weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Mm.
And the peace that you can't really describe. So
yeah.
I was telling about that and kind of how it's affected my life.
Okay. So we'll switch now. I kind of put you on the spot.
All right.
No, okay, good. Glad you think that way. So now I'm the Christian in our friendship, and you're my friend who doesn't know Christ, and you come to me with the same, all right, Tony, what's going on? So the way I would explain it to you is that you and I, as different as we are, I'm a 57-year-old retired cop, and you are in your 20s playing rugby. We're pretty different people. But what we have in common is that you and I were both created in the image of God. We're image bearers of our Creator.
Right.
We both know God exists because God's written that reality. Yeah, I love you too. He's written that reality on our heart. This creation testifies to the reality of His existence. There are no atheists or skeptics or agnostics. There are simply people who suppress the truth. They know about God by their righteousness because they don't want to submit to Him. So every human being knows that God exists. The other thing you and I have in common is that this God who did create us has actually written His law on our heart. We call it a conscience. As different as we are, you and I both know it's wrong to lie. Not because of how or when or by who we were raised, but because the God who created us isn't a liar. for the same reason we know it's wrong to steal, because our God isn't a thief. We know it's wrong to hate another human being for any reason whatsoever, because the God who created us isn't a murderer at heart. And this God who is infinitely holy, infinitely righteous, infinitely just, is the one we're going to stand before to give an account for our life someday. And when that happens, he's going to judge us not by how we see ourselves in the mirror, but according to the law that he's written on our heart. And it's a law that you and I have broken in some way every day of our life, either with our thoughts or with what comes out of our mouth or our actions. We've somehow fallen short of his glory. And because God is good, because he's holy and righteous and just, he's going to punish that sin, that law breaking. And the punishment he's determined for all of it is eternity in hell. And because you're my friend and I care about you, and the Bible commands me to love my neighbor as myself, friends warn their friends when their friends are in danger. So you need to know that.
Right.
But this same God, who his own word says is angry with the wicked every day, who will judge the world in righteousness, is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. And he showed that great love some 2,000 years ago when God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, without sin. He lived a perfect life from cradle to grave as God in the flesh for some 33 years, a life you and I can't live for 33 seconds. Yet even though he knew no sin, at a time appointed by the Father before the foundation of the world, before creation even began, Jesus Christ voluntarily submitted himself to a torturous death of a Roman cross. He died a death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. He shed his innocent blood on that cross, he died and he was buried, and then 3 days later, unlike the false gods people create in their imagination, this true God, this real God, forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of power. Someday he's going to return. We don't know when. Anyone who tells you they know when Jesus is coming back is lying to you, because even Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour. But when he comes back, he's not going to come back as a helpless baby in a manger. The Bible says he's going to come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. And so what God commands of you, same as he commands of me, Alan, everyone else, is that by faith we turn from our sin. The $10 word for that is called repentance. We turn from our sin and we turn toward God. Did you get something?
I'm not sure. Sorry.
No, that's all right. God commands us to turn from our sin and turn toward him. And in turning toward him, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior by faith. Bible says it's by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. And the great promise of God, Kiara, is that if God literally causes you to be born again, and Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if God causes you to be born again, he'll take your heart of stone, which makes one an enemy of God, and he'll give you a heart of flesh. You'll begin to love the things that God loves, namely him. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates, namely your own sin. You'll have the assurance of forgiveness for that sin. He promises that not only will he forgive the sin, but he'll remove it as far as the east is from the west, and he'll remember it no more. You'll be reconciled to the God you've spent your life offending by your sin. And you'll have the assurance of eternal life, not because you're good, not because you worked hard, not because you earn it or deserve it, but because of the goodness of God that would allow his son to die for sinners like us. So, did you hear anything different in what I said compared to what you said?
Yeah.
What stands out to you?
Well, you shared the whole story. Pretty much everything.
Okay.
You put me on the spot.
I acknowledge it. Sure, I acknowledge that. Did you hear anything in what I shared with you that you do not believe?
No.
Okay. So that's the gospel you believe.
Yeah.
Praise God. So I want to encourage you then.
Okay.
the reason you and I are still here, the reason three of us are still on planet Earth as professing Christians, is to make that message known to others, is to communicate that gospel to others. And we really, we can't. He likes dogs too. Oh, you're making a friend, Theo.
Buddy.
Well, he warmed right up.
Wow, is he friendly. Yeah. My Roxy's like that too, but she's only 17 pounds. Good dog. Good dog. Yeah. So that's why we're here, is to communicate that good news to others. And we can't be saved by a gospel we don't know. And a lot of Christians hold back. They're fearful. They're afraid they're going to say something wrong or get asked a question they can't answer. One that's popular is, I might push someone away from Jesus. Well, the Bible says everyone's running as fast as they can away from him anyways. We can't catch them to push them away, right? Not that we should run roughshod over people or be rude or offensive, because the message is offensive enough. But the two greatest commandments are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. And there's no greater way we as Christians can express our love for God than by telling others about him. And there's no greater way we can love our neighbor than to communicate the same gospel to them that saved us, right? So I just want to encourage you with that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank How you. Far along are you in your studies?
I got about a year left.
Okay. And do you plan to go back to Connecticut to practice, or are you going
to
do that out here, or?
To start, I'm going to go back home.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up in New Hampshire.
Oh, New Hampshire. Okay. So you already have a place lined up where you're going to?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
See, I've never been in New Hampshire, but I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. I have not, but in comparing it to Davenport.
Yeah.
Right? It's probably kind of tough, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I miss it, but it's absolutely gorgeous if you get ever go up there. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
The falls, the leaves are beautiful, the mountains, the lakes, they have everything.
Yeah. Wow. Look, we've known each other for 15 minutes, so I don't want to pry, obviously.
No worries.
But is there anything we could be praying for you about?
We'd be honored.
And you could say no, too. That's okay.
For me, personally, I mean, things are going great at the moment.
Okay.
If anything, just the state of the world.
I'm sorry?
The state of the world.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
I don't know, for people that find peace.
Well, as Christians, we know where it is.
Absolutely.
Right? And the world can be daunting.
Yeah.
It's not an easy place to live in. I mean, when I was your age, it was a much easier place to live in, and it was hard then than it is today.
Things are a lot more complicated.
Yeah. But if we keep our eyes focused on Christ and the cross, James says in James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance.
Yep.
And let endurance have its perfect result so that you can be made mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, well, if you are in Christ, Kiara, God is allowing those trials to test your faith, to mature your faith, and to conform you more to the image of His Son. God allows trials in the life of His people because He loves them. Sometimes it's for discipline, but a loving father disciplines his child. But if we're in Christ, we don't have to worry about standing before God as a wrath-filled judge. But sometimes He will discipline His children when we're disobedient, right? Just as any good mother or father would.
Yeah.
And then Paul wrote at the end of Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Really? Mine too. Mine too, yeah. Well, we won't keep you any longer, but thank you so much for your time. Really good to meet you. And while we don't have anything specific, we know Kiara now, and we'll be praying for you tonight.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you ever decide to visit, the rest of the church building is on that track I gave you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too. You too. See
you,
Theo.
Bye, buddy.
Take care of Kiara.
Bye.
Have a great night. Praise God.